open with our first hymn, which is in the insert with trembling awe. And of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment.
But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The lightnings lighted the world, the earth trembled and shook. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. everlasting God, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast revealed unto us the glory of Thy Son, and let the light of Thy Gospel shine upon us. We pray Thee guide us by this light, that we may walk diligently as Christians in all good works, ever be strengthened by Thy grace, and conduct our lives in all godliness, through the same Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Lesson for this Transfiguration Sunday is found in the third chapter of Exodus, the first through the sixth verse. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the first chapter of 2 Peter, the 16th through the 21st verse. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here ends the epistle lesson. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among all people. Hallelujah. Chapter of Matthew, the first through the ninth verse. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Here ends the Gospel. Confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing the second hymn, which is also found in the bulletin insert, The Only Son. Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson this morning is found in the 12th chapter of Ezekiel, the 21st through the 28th verse. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant that we may hear thy word as it is indeed in truth, thy very testimony to us today. May thy word, therefore, be fulfilled among us. Amen. As a Christian, you have to get used to people mocking you and ridiculing you and making you the brunt of all their jokes. And I suppose compared to how bad our persecution could be, that's a light burden. But it's no less real. There are many people who have silly beliefs, and men love to make fun of others, no matter how sincere they may be. And so it's not surprising that Christians should be at the top of their list. But there is a difference with Jesus' disciples among all those whom men ridicule. We look at their mockery with different eyes, the eyes of God's Spirit. And we can't help but remember the words of Scripture. They deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Our faith is not merely in God, for most men do not find such a thing objectionable. Our faith is in His Son, Jesus Christ. But it is not just in His Son, for every man might be ready to accept that much. What they cannot stomach is the cross of Jesus. For that is at the very center of our faith. We cannot even think of Jesus apart from His cross. For without His cross, we would have no Jesus worth believing in. Oh, His worth and purity and goodness would be intact without His cross. But we would never know of it. We would never taste of His goodness, and we would never receive God's mercy were it not for His cross. Our faith would be meaningless without it. We sing the old hymn, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. And as the cross is the center of our faith, it is our redemption from sin and death that is on our minds when we think of that cross. Since the cross is the place where all the sins of the world are found, laid upon the shoulders of Jesus, the ridicule and mockery of men stings all the more. We are much like these men, for we deserve the same death and hell that they deserve. Yet God has revealed to us the glory of His Son through His cross. The cross where the sins of every mocker and scorner are also laid. When they blaspheme the name of God and deny His word, we hear them deny their own redemption. And we're reminded that it is for these very mockers and scorners that we are still here in this world. We are called to declare the glory of God to men in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the response that we usually receive. It can be devastating, frustrating, and even depressing to see men reject the Lord of life. Therefore, it is good to hear the words of our Lord, which He speaks to Ezekiel. This man of God was enduring the same scorn and ridicule. His own people, whether they were in Babylon or in Israel, were telling him, the days drag on and on, year after year, and we see no proof of these prophecies you preached. Therefore, they have failed. They mean nothing to us. Imagine how it must be for God to send out a prophet, to put all these words in his mouth. Ezekiel knew that the Lord's word must be true no matter what, but the ridicule and the scorn no doubt stung. This is the reward that the prophet received for speaking the truth which God had placed in his mouth. Nobody believed him. You see, it is never any different. God's prophets and people in every age meet the same kind of answer. But the Lord's answer also remains the same. I will make this proverb of theirs to cease, these words which they speak in mockery of him. Tell them the days are indeed at hand. God is speaking to them right now, and he declares, I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall not be prolonged. I speak the words now in your days, and I will perform it. You see, God does not need men to believe his word for it to be fulfilled. He will do what he said, no matter what men think and no matter how much they mock. And that is a great comfort to us. Because being the people that we are, still having our own sinful nature, we grow anxious when people reject the word of God as if somehow that can change God's word. But it can't. But it's also a great comfort that the Lord has not sent us into the world to use our powers of persuasion to convince men of the truth. At no time did God ever tell any of his prophets, go change their hearts. He only ever said, go tell them what I have said. And that is all that he asks us to do. It's we who have convinced ourselves that when men reject the word of God, that we have failed. No, the only one who has failed are they who have rejected the word of God. But God's word cannot fail. Which of God's prophets did Israel not reject? As Stephen declared, which of the prophets did you not stone and persecute? Even Samuel, the last of the judges that God sent Israel, met an unruly people who were unsatisfied with God's rule over them, and they demanded a king instead. And when Samuel despaired at this, the Lord reminded him, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. No. As you shine with the light of Christ and speak of the cross of Christ where your sins were forgiven, it is inevitable that men will foolishly mock you. And what should you say to them? Should you jump into the fray and start arguing? No, because we should not lower God's truth to the level of their lives as if there's anything to debate. But certainly you cannot keep silent. When men mock the truth of God's word, lest they believe that in your silence you agree with them or that you think them to be the wise ones. So how do you respond to such fools? Proverbs puts forward the dilemma this way. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. You see, you will never convince a fool. All you can do is to state God's truth plainly so that others may know and hear, and leave the fool himself to wallow in his foolishness. Once that truth is confessed, your part is over. The rest is for God's Spirit to do. As Jesus said to his disciples whom he sent out to bear witness that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, whosoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. So God instructs Ezekiel in our lesson. The mockers of God's word will always insist that his word will never be fulfilled. They will smugly muster all their intellect, their knowledge of history and science as proof against God himself. Ezekiel met such people both in Israel among the remnant that were left behind, when the rest of the nation was taken captive in Babylon, and also in Babylon among the captives. But God's response is the same. I will bring my word to pass, and then shall they know that this prophecy was not for some far-off people, some vaporous, unfulfillable future. It was for them. You see, it doesn't matter when the final fulfillment of God's word comes. God's word is always meant for those to whom it is preached. No matter whether it speaks of an event to come, maybe even an event you will never see with your eyes, yet that word is given to you to hear and consider and apply. The Israelites who heard Ezekiel did not live to see the promise of Christ fulfilled with their own eyes. They did not live to see the judgment of God come upon Israel. But nevertheless, the Lord says, in this day, I will bring it to pass. Because the word of the Lord was given to them. Because if they did not receive it, then the judgment of the Lord would fall upon them, even so, even in their death. Would they have heeded the word of the Lord's prophet? Would that they had, so that they might have known the Lord's glory, in His grace and mercy. For though they never would have had a chance to see Jesus on the earth with their own eyes, His grace and mercy was offered to them then, on that day, when the words of the prophet came to them bearing God's word. Imagine how it must have been for Peter, James, and John. They were there on the mount where Jesus was transfigured before their very eyes. He glowed with the divine light of God. And the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." They saw it with their eyes and heard it with their ears. John reported in his gospel, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Peter declared in our epistle, "For we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount." And what was the meaning of the vision which they beheld? It was the most glorious truth of all, that Jesus is the promised Christ, God in human flesh, sent to redeem all men from their sins. Even as testimony, there was Moses and there was Elijah to say that, yes, this indeed is He. This is the one of whom we wrote. God's promise, which men mocked for centuries, had now been fulfilled. This same Jesus sent Peter, James, and John and all the apostles to go out and to declare His name to the nations. And if the transfiguration was not enough, these men witnessed Jesus' crucifixion and His death, and they saw Him alive after He had risen from the dead, eating with them, and heard Him preach. You can imagine having witnessed these things, the truth just bursting from their hearts with a fervency that finds no equal in the history of the world. They saw this with their own eyes. They heard the Father Himself with their own ears. And then the rest of their lives they heard the mockery of millions who denied that Jesus was Christ, the Son of God. They listened to the world call this magnificent truth a cunningly devised fable. Don't they call it this yet to this day? And so also John notes he was in the world. And the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But we have the eyewitness testimony of the apostles. And now God has convinced us by His Spirit that these are not cunningly devised fables. These men spoke the truth, because God put the truth not only into their eyes and ears, but also into their mouths. The apostles were certainly absolutely convinced, as even an honest historian must marvel at their fervency, their devotion to the gospel which they declared, when their only reward ever was persecution and death. History knows many movements which were born of zeal, military zeal, such as the religion of Islam and their doctrine of empire and death for all who will not yield to it. But where do men follow those who are killed all the day long, who wield no sword, who offer no power or wealth, who count themselves indeed worthless and nothing and no better than any man, who throw themselves down at the mercy of a gracious God and find no worth in themselves and all their value in God's undeserved love? It's ironic, perhaps, that even in being eyewitnesses of Christ, that in fact being those eyewitnesses and in having in their memories the absolute proof of every word of God, that these men behaved as fools in the eyes of the world. So it is with every disciple of Jesus. They have not rejected you. They have rejected the cross of Christ, where God's glory is not only revealed, but is offered to men as a gift of grace. So you see, it cannot be you. It is His cross that they find foolish. And the only way for them to find you wise is if you ceased to speak of His cross. But the glory of God in Christ Jesus does not rely upon man's willingness to believe it. He shall do what He has said. He revealed Himself to all men on the cross, and there all men may receive Him in grace and mercy. But the day will surely come when He will reveal to all men that same glory that was visible on the mount. And then the Father will not speak from heaven to testify of Christ. For Jesus Himself will speak, and He will judge the world and every man, now bearing witness with their own eyes to the glory of God's Son, will not doubt. They will believe, too late, that the Lord always keeps His word. With Jesus will not be only Moses and Elijah, but all the saints of all time, gathered around Him in their own flesh. They too shall see the glory of God, and they will rejoice in great delight. For there with their eyes they shall see in person that same Jesus whom their faith had seen in His word. May God grant that when we hear the words which our Lord speaks, that we might know His glory on this day and revel in His grace. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose eyes are upon the righteous and whose ears are open to their prayers, hear now the prayer of Thy people and grant unto us all that we need for the health of our souls and our bodies. We pray Thee, O God, for the revelation of Thy will in the glorious transfiguration of Thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, through the revelation of this mighty sign in thy holy word, give to us the faith to behold his eternal deity and to worship and adore him in sincerity and truth. Grant that we may know him as the light of the world, our Son of righteousness, the manifest image of thine own divine being. By the sign of thy voice and command, Lord God, give us a lively faith in the doctrine of thy Son and a willingness to heed his commandments. In the sign of Moses and Elijah, show us that they are blessed who die in the faith of Jesus Christ. For they shall know the power of his resurrection and shall be changed from glory into glory. As thou didst anoint thy Son with thy Holy Spirit without measure, let thy Holy Spirit dwell in our bodies and transform our weak, sinful lives with the adornment of righteous works, pleasing to thee, that in word and deed, mind and thought, we might more and more be conformed to the image of thy Son. Look upon thy church in all places, and grant that we and all who bear the name of Christ may daily offer up to thee the acceptable sacrifices of repentance, faith, and thanksgiving. Behold our nation, O God, deliver it from all workers of iniquity and purge it from all unrighteousness. Have mercy upon us, and by thy great power, save and defend us. For our whole world, we pray, grant that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. We pray for our sister Catherine Woltman, that thou wilt restore her to health, or else prepare her to receive the day of thy gracious visitation, reminding her always of the grace by which she was redeemed in Christ her Savior. Thou who art nigh unto all them that call upon thee in truth, hear our prayer, and by thy mercy grant our petitions, for Christ's sake. Amen. We sing hymn number 135.
Lift up your hearts. We lift our hearts to the Lord.
only meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn number 52.
Oh,
bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.